I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. The Utah Jazz beat the Phoenix Suns, not really a big surprise there, 116-88. Jazz outscoring the Suns in the fourth quarter, 37-17. It was really not a pretty game, and I'll be honest, I was pretty distracted because, well, I'm on trade watch. I want to know if the Utah Jazz are going to trade for someone, and that's kind of why I put off a podcast until now, because I wanted to see if the Jazz would have traded someone by now, so hopefully we would have heard from him by today, or at least we'd be able to discuss what kind of a trade it was, but no trade so far, and coming up on Thursday, which is probably when you're listening to this podcast anyway, is going to be the trade deadline at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. It almost seems cruel that the Jazz have not made a trade as of yet. We've heard all this chatter, especially because of Mike Conley, but you really can't blame the Jazz. Listen, I'm not on the Jazz's payroll, okay? But you really can't blame the Jazz. If the Grizzlies are asking for a bunch and the Jazz don't want to give up that bunch, especially if it's, we've heard Dante Exum would be included in that trade, and when you look at it, you probably know my feelings by now. I think it might be a mistake to trade for Mike Conley just because of what you're getting in return. You're getting a really good ball player, but you're also getting some other things along with it. Big contract. He's in his 30s. You're matching up two shorter guards with each other. So I'm not sure that's the best thing to do. So you really can't blame the Jazz because if the Grizzlies are asking for a lot and there's really nothing else out there, you know, you're trying to think to the future, too. You don't want to just do this so that you can compete for a Western Conference final appearance right now. So you have to be really smart about this whole thing. And if the Jazz aren't finding it, that's bad. And we'll talk more about trades here right now. During halftime, I wanted to find someone to talk about why the Jazz have not made a trade yet. More about Mike Conley and if the Jazz are going to make a trade. So I tabbed a guy just down the row from me. His name's Ryan McDonald. He works for the Deseret News. As I said, we talked at halftime. Here's our conversation. No one really cares about this game, right, Ryan? This is Ryan McDonald from the Deseret News. He's joining me here for the Jazz Notes podcast. No one here cares about the game. Everyone's just wondering. Probably everyone's on Twitter here thinking, when are the Jazz going to make a trade?
I am definitely distracted. I'm definitely not dialed into the game, and that's what I'm doing, trying to figure out if they're going to. We'll see.
Yeah, it you know, it's interesting. All we heard all week long is that the Jazz were interested in Mike Conley. We wait, and then we find out today. By the way, of course, it's during the game, so we find out today Mike Conley would rather play for an Eastern Conference team. I take that to be the Toronto Raptors. That's at least my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, some people have kind of floated around the idea that maybe that's his agent pushing something to try and get, you know, a better situation, that maybe he'd be okay here. Obviously, the Jazz have had kind of a history. That's one thing that they fought their whole existence, is players not wanting to be here. And so is this another one? It's tough. It's if it's real, if it's a real deal, with him not, it's got to be a tough predicament for Jazz management to overcome. And yeah, Toronto, I've heard that Toronto is maybe out of it at this point. Here, and maybe Indiana is moving to the front. We'll see. It's crazy.
If it was Toronto, you could totally see, because you'd say, oh, he's in line to possibly play for a team that could make it to the finals. But if we're talking Indiana or maybe some of these other teams, why would he want to even go to a team like that?
I mean,
because I can't imagine it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of is he's played for Memphis his whole career, and they had some good years there, but it's been a struggle a lot of years. And so my first thought when I heard that was, yeah, if he has the choice, maybe the East is easier to advance in the playoffs and so forth. That would make sense with Toronto for me. But yeah, Indiana.
He's from there originally. So
true.
You could see that, and you could say, well, Victor Oladipo, if he can get healthy again, that makes a pretty good back for him.
Yeah, forgot about that. Victor Oladipo won't be back this year for sure. So he'd definitely be looking to next year, and who knows how long Oladipo – who knows if he'll miss some of next season as well. But, yeah, I guess Indiana would kind of be a homecoming. I had forgotten about that aspect of it. So we'll see. You know, at the end of the day, the teams – I think there could be a sense on Memphis's part that we want to do right by Mike Conley, that he's been our guy for 12 years. And even though we want to do what's best for us, we also want to try and get him in a situation that he wants if we can. So there could be an element to that I can maybe see. But ultimately, I think the Grizzlies and the Jazz are going to do what's best for them. And I think that for the Jazz, that could be getting him here. Even if he's not super warm on the idea right now, it's let's get him here and, you know, try and change his mind. Ultimately, we'll see what Dennis Lindsay feels about that.
Sadly, let me give you a little insight here, all you fans out there. I kind of held off on this podcast because I thought by now that the Jazz would have a trade in hand. I make it clear till Wednesday's game, and they still don't have a trade. It's a little shocking to you that this hasn't happened as of yet, because we just keep hearing about it and hearing about it, but nothing's happened yet. But on the other hand, I guess you could also say that the teams aren't agreeing on what should be discussed back, or excuse me, traded back and forth.
Right. I was talking to someone about that before the game, and he, you know, teams typically wait until as late as they possibly can to try and get the very best offer that they possibly can, and I can see that from Memphis's standpoint, wanting to wait as much as they possibly, you know, try it. I think the Jazz may put forth an offer, and Memphis says, no, we want more, and you know, it's kind of a cat and mouse who's gonna win the negotiation. So there's an element to that, but someone did so that from that standpoint, I'm not super surprised. Maybe they're holding out as late as they possibly can. But someone did bring up the point I was talking before the game. Woj just went, but it's not Jazz. So I was looking at my phone, got sidetracked there for a second. But someone brought up before the game, you know, the longer these negotiations go, you kind of wonder if eventually they kind of get sick of talking to each other. And it's like, all right, are we doing this or not? And so from that standpoint, you bring up a good point of maybe this thing should have happened by now if it was going to.
I guess the one good thing is that we've heard reports that Memphis wanted Dante Exum in a trade, and the Jazz said, no, we're not going to give up Dante Exum. For Dante, who's been injured a lot, and for how much praise he's received actually from Coach Snyder, again, this has to be something that makes him happy, saying, this team really wants me to stick around here.
No doubt. And I guess there's that debate of how much do you want Mike Conley? Do you want Mike Conley enough to trade Dante Exum? And clearly the Jazz haven't, based on those reports, the Jazz haven't wanted to do that, which to me is kind of interesting. Admittedly, Exum has shown incredible flashes that we've all seen, but he hasn't played it, you know. So but that is a good point, that the Jazz have shown, yeah, we're invested in Exum, and so I think that's another weighing thing, that clearly they've shown, at least according to those reports, we'd rather have Dante Exum than Mike Conley, is essentially what they're saying, with saying, no, we're not going to include Exum in that deal. So
at the start of tonight's game, I was on KSL's Unrivaled. Uh-oh, Woj is tweeting out some more, but it's more about the Kings than anything else. So anyway, we were talking about on that show about will the Jazz have a trade, and one of the guys on the show, Scott Mitchell, he basically said, oh, I think Ricky Rubio's gone. And my attitude was, you know, until something happens, I don't think he's going anywhere because the Jazz still like this guy. Yeah, he has an expiring contract, but they still like this guy. Do you see something getting done before the trade deadline? I know some people may be listening to this after it happens, but still, what do you think? What's your feeling?
Well, I think if it's a Conley deal with the way salaries work and whatnot, I think Rubio has to go in the deal. So again, it's a discussion. Would you rather have Mike Conley or Ricky Rubio? And I think you take Mike Conley in that argument any day of the week. So I think that's probably the only deal that Rubio would go. We'll see, obviously, but. I think Mike Conley is an upgrade over Ricky Rubio. As much as we all love Ricky Rubio as a person, incredible person, but I do think that Mike Conley would be an upgrade there, and so that would make sense.
I don't disagree with you. I just wonder if it's worth the cost, and I think that's probably what the Jazz are trying to figure out right now. Is it worth the cost to actually go out and get him? Do you see anything else out there? You think the Jazz make another trade or see if they can get someone else to see if they can help? I mean, I think most people think they're probably not going to go to the NBA Finals this year, but is there something that at least helps them out, so it not only helps them out this season, but seasons down the road?
Yeah, there's been some talk about Nikola Mirotic from New Orleans, a big guy who can shoot from outside. There was some talk about him last year at the deadline, and obviously that didn't happen. So there's been some talk about him. I've heard that New Orleans wants a first-round pick for him. So we'll see there. The Jazz could – I think the Jazz – and others have said this too, but I think the Jazz could use maybe an upgrade in the type of player that Jay Crowder is, that shooter. He's playing really well the first half here tonight. Yeah. But so I can see maybe that happening. I don't think I see anything else really major. Mike Conley would be the major one. Could see something small, you know, just to... I do think the Jazz need maybe a little jolt. You know, they came into tonight seventh in the Western Conference. So to try and make sure that they get, you know, get in the playoffs, their schedule, last month of the season, their schedule is going to be really easy. But we'll see. So I think they could use a jolt with some little change, but... we'll see.
For excitement purposes, I at least kind of hope it happens. Not that I don't like this team. Every guy on this team is really likable, but, you know, to give a jolt behind the fan base, like you said, or just bring a little bit more excitement, I think it'd be a good thing to see.
Yeah. I've loved trade deadlines. It's hard because it's a rough time for the players. You know, it's a rough time for organizations, but for observers, I think it's kind of fun, and it's really interesting to me personally.
Okay, Ryan and I supposedly have to get back to work, which is called watch the second half of the Jazz Suns game, so we'll do that. Hey, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So one thing we did not talk about in our conversation is, and this, of course, happened, you know, in the course of the evening through the game, we found out that another Jazz target, Otto Porter, someone that the Jazz are, you know, we were told to believe that Otto Porter was not available for the Jazz because the asking price was too high. He got traded to the Chicago Bulls for Bobby Portis, Jabari Parker, and a protected second round pick in 2023. Maybe he was gettable, but I'm not sure that was the right pick anyway, unless that's the right pick so that you can hopefully go out and get someone else. You know, Otto Porter does some good things, but he's a 3-and-D guy, but, you know, is that really the guy that's going to take you over the top? Probably not. Is that a guy that could help you so that eventually you could go over the top? Maybe. Another guy that was on his team, Markieff Morris, who, you know, he's had some character issues in the past, but he could have helped the Jazz out too. He was traded, even though he's been injured too. He was traded to the New Orleans Pelicans, not Anthony Davis. But he was traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Wesley Johnson. So there's another interesting trade there. Also, Tobias Harris, that guy that all the Jazz fans want the Jazz to go out and get. Well, as you know, he was traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll see if he'll become, well, he's going to become a free agent. We'll see if he's actually going to entertain offers or if he's going to try and stay with the Sixers. So should we talk about the game? We'll do it after this break, but In the midst of it, I'm going to show you, because of this game, just a small microcosm right here from this game, who I think the Jazz should trade away before the trade deadline. And I'll explain that coming up after this break. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. As we said before, the Utah Jazz won 116-88. Of course, you know that. Not a great game for Donovan Mitchell, 21 points, but only shot 8 for 21 in this game. He did end up with a couple of assists. Not a great game for Rudy Gobert. He was only 6 for 10 for the free throw line, but he does so many other good things. He had some nice defensive plays, but he wasn't quite on either. He ended up with 16 points. But really, the hero of the game was Joe Ingles, and it wasn't because he made a lot of points. I mean, he did score 15, and he was very efficient. He was 6 for 10 and 2 for 5 from the three-point line. But it was his assists. It was his 11 assists in this game. What a great night for him. And both Quinn Snyder and also Jay Crowder had some good things to say about him, and they both said kind of the same things.
He has a feel for pick and roll and just making good reads. And obviously it's, you know, he's patient with the ball, and you know, he got a lot of, created a lot of good offense in pick and roll. I thought, you know, Joe's, you know, focus was on, you know, the moment and the play, and when he's doing that, you know, and he's really dialed in mentally, you know, he's capable of creating like that and creating for his teammates.
Well, he's a very savvy player, especially in the pick and roll game, and we try to take advantage of that and let him make plays off of the pick and roll. And he did a good job tonight, just taking what the defense gave him, and if not having his layup, finding the big man on the roll and trusting the big man on to make a play. So we trust him with the ball in his hands during pick and roll, and he did a great job tonight.
And because of those things, that's what I want to get into next. You don't want to trade Joe Ingles. I know I joked about it earlier in the season about trading him for Brandon Ingram from the Lakers. Okay, you don't want to trade Joe Ingles, not because he scores a lot, not because he's really athletic. It's because he is so smart, because he can run the pick and roll, because he can be a primary ball handler, because he can do so many good things for this team, and he's an agitator too. You don't want to trade Joe Ingles. He's not going anywhere. Of course, you're not going to trade Donovan Mitchell. You're not going to trade Rudy Gobert. So who does that leave of the main players? Well, you could maybe trade away Jay Crowder or Kyle Korver or one of those other guys, but you know they're not going to really fetch you a lot in return. So that really leaves two guys, Derek Favors and Ricky Rubio. Derek Favors, I don't think you want to trade him either because he is such a valuable asset, at least right now, as a backup center. And he does so many good things as the backup center. He keeps things rolling. No, he's not as good as Ruby, but man, he's darn good. So I don't think you really want to trade him. And he's under a reasonable contract right now, too. So I really don't think you want to get rid of him. And he loves playing for the Jazz. So that really leaves Ricky Rubio. Is he the guy you want to trade? Here's the reason why I say, even though I love Ricky Rubio, here's the reason why I think Ricky Rubio could go. And by the way, he actually had a good game, too. But as I've said before, he has too many bad shooting nights. But more importantly than that, if the Jazz are going to get another dynamic player, if that's what they're hoping for, probably Ricky Rubio is the guy that you're going to eventually want to replace to do that. Where else are you going to do that? If you don't do it at Joe Ingles' spot and you don't do it at Derek Favors' spot, at least in the short term for both of those guys, then where are you going to go? It's probably going to be replacing Ricky Rubio. That's the guy they need to probably ship out, and it's not going to make Ricky happy because it'll be his third team in just a few seasons. Jazz just traded for him, not in this past offseason, but the offseason before that, so that probably doesn't make him happy. It wouldn't make him happy, but the Jazz need to find someone who's more dynamic if they can trade for him, and I'm not sure who that person is. I wish I could sit there and tell you who the guy is that the Jazz should go out and get and that they'll be able to keep for a long time and will lead him to a Western Conference title and maybe an NBA title. But if it's going to be one guy at this trade deadline, it's probably going to be Ricky Rubio if they can go out and get, in my opinion, a wing player and let Donovan take over as your main ball handler. Because, again, you can take the pressure off Donovan, not only because of the offense, but because you have guys like Joe Ingles, because Dante Exum could eventually come back if you don't trade him away. And you've got guys on the third string like Howell Neto who could do the same thing. So if you're going to trade a guy away, I think it's going to be Ricky Rubio, but I don't even think that's a guarantee. All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. After The trade deadline passes. We'll have another podcast for you. Probably not until Friday, so something to download for the weekend as we talk more about the Utah Jazz and whether they trade someone or not and how things are going to go forward. Thanks a lot for listening. Make sure you download, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. Let us know how we can improve, too. We'll have much more coming up for you coming up soon. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.